There were three things I wanted to say just before I got started with my presentation. The first is I wanted to make you all aware of a fantastic journal that actually Dr. Klein edited, and it's out in press now. It's the Journal of Social, Journal of Gay and Lesbian Social Services, and it's a special edition on risk, the internet, and sexual behavior in gay and bisexual men. So keep a lookout for that. He did a great job on it. So. The second thing, I hope the APHA police are not here. I didn't include one of those slides that said the disclosure, so I have nothing to disclose. And the third thing is, I know many of you have seen presentations from me before. Usually there are amazing, fun pictures. I typed in gay sexual control in the Mix and Mingle Lounge into Google, and this was the tamest picture I could find. So there will be a conspicuous dearth of pictures in this presentation. But enjoy these lovely two men. So, what are we talking about today? Hurts So Good, How Sexual Control May Influence Condom Disuse in Ordinary Gay and Bisexual Men. So, this is no surprise to anyone. Gay and bisexual men continue to show the highest incidence of new HIV infections, and this is primarily due to the high number of sexual partners, anonymous sexual encounters that they're having, where they don't know the person's HIV status, let alone their name or last name. And of course, the low condom use that seems to persist. And we ask ourselves, why? Why are we continuing with this low condom use when, ooh, gay and bisexual men, you should know better? Well, we see consistent intrinsic barriers to condom use, right? It just doesn't feel good, okay? Norms and culture. So, for instance, my friends don't use condoms, or there's no expectation for me to use condoms. We see that negative affects, so things like hostility, depression might contribute to low condom use. And then there's also this category of individual differences, where things like low self-control or low discipline or low self-esteem might be contributing to the lowered condom use. One of these individual differences is going to be this idea of sexual control. And there's going to be a great deal of variation in individuals' tendencies towards this variable. And I'm talking about everyone, my men and my women, okay? We all like sex differently, and we all vary in our tendencies towards being dominant or submissive, okay? Sexual control, this degree to which individuals tend to control or dominate a sexual situation or relinquish that control to a partner or partners. And obviously there is a dominance-submissiveness continuum, okay? You're not a dominant or you're not just a submissive, okay? You exist on some continuum. Not everyone is going to be this S&M master or slave that I think a lot of us think of when we talk about sexual control, when we talk about submissiveness and dominance. Ordinary individuals, you, me, Patrick, everyone, we can have different levels of submissiveness or dominance during our normal sexual encounters. This also will manifest in different sorts of sexual behaviors we're going to prefer, in terms of the roles that we're going to enact in those behaviors. Some people enjoy giving oral sex, some people enjoy getting it. So, what do we know about health and sexual control? So prior to 2009, in gay and bisexual men, there really wasn't too much out there. We saw in the beginning of the decade, Kippax and Smith showed that sexual control was related to anal penetrative role, and obviously anal penetrative role has correlations with sexual risk. Tops have less risk than bottoms, so we think. There were psychological examinations in terms of sexual control. Does this relate with sexual guilt? Is this a form of sexual escapism fantasy? And of course, there was my study, which was, I guess, 2009, and we looked specifically at Leatherman. So those men that did identify as masters, slaves, pups, and all the different labels that are associated with that subculture. So what did we find in that research? So we saw that Leatherman, who called themselves dominant labeled, so master, sir, dom, used condoms less, so did the submissive labels. And I've given this presentation before, some of you have probably seen it. So this is pretty much the relationship we've got with condom use, sub, and dom, okay? But what about you and me? What about all of us that aren't masters or slaves, but still enjoy having sex? So we can look at individual differences in terms of this variable, and we can use this paradigm, this sort of hyperbolic paradigm of sexual control, and see if it applies to you and me. Four hypotheses. So, as submissiveness increases, will condom use decrease? The second one, dominance increases, will condom use decrease? Then we asked, as submissiveness and dominance increase, what's going to happen with decision-making when it comes to condom use. So we said, if you're more submissive, you're more likely to defer to your partner for condom use. If you're more dominant, you're more likely to make the decision yourself. Okay, as I said, secondary study off of my Leatherman study. We surveyed men from two MSM events, the International Mr. Leatherman Competition and Expo, and PrideFest Milwaukee. We basically gave a survey in a booth, gave participants $5. And for this data that I'm going to present, we're only talking about ordinary men. So anyone who identified as a Leatherman, I kicked him out of the analyses, okay? So again, you and me, not masters, okay? Demographics, in terms of measures, we have demographics, which I'll show you in a bit. Again, men could select whether they were part of the leather community or not, the exclusion criteria, and you see it. We asked on a scale from 1 to 5 about their condom consistency of condom use, and we split receptive and insertive into two separate disparate behaviors. Okay, how did we get to sexual control? There wasn't really anything I liked out there, so we wanted something short and terse that people could get through quickly. So we asked, when I'm having sex with a partner, I tend to let my partner control the sexual situation, physically dominate my partner, do whatever my partner tells me to do, control the situation, or be physically dominated by my partner. And we reverse coded it so that scores that were higher suggested more dominance, lower, more submissiveness. The decision making about condom use, it was just pretty straightforward. I tend to let my partner decide whether we use condoms or not, where 7 would be strongly disagree, or I decide. 1 is going to be strongly agree, where my partner decides. Stats, you're going to see the distribution soon. Multiple regression testing for quadratic effects, I'll talk about that in a second. When we get to mediation, we use Sobel statistics. And across everything, I didn't put it on every slide, but controlled for HIV status, age, and location of the survey. I don't know if anyone's been to IML, but it is vastly different than anything else you've ever seen. So I didn't want that messing with any effects. Men who never used condoms the past 90 days because they hadn't had any sex were out of the analyses. Sample, the average age, 35, with 11 years as a standard deviation. Mostly white, followed by African American. We had 12.8% HIV positive. And we had a lot of men who actually had graduate degrees or some graduate work, which is what it is. Let's look at the variables. A gorgeous normal distribution on sexual control, right? 4.23 with basically one standard deviation. In terms of condom use, the men usually used condoms for both insertive and receptive. And in terms of deferring to partner for condom use, no surprise about the skew towards the self making the decision. Okay, the first hypothesis. So as submissiveness increases in gay and bisexual men, and also as dominance increases, what's going to happen? And we see we have these sort of, there's significant nonlinear effects, but we have to think about what the curve is saying. It tends to, for the receptive anal condom use, tends to favor the dominant side. For insertive anal, the trend tends to favor the submissive side. So yes, it does seem to be an effect that's occurring. However, we have to sort of put a little asterisk around it. We'll talk about that in a second. Moving on to 3 and 4, as submissiveness increases in gay and bisexual men, what's going to happen with self versus partner condom use? And we see a pretty linear effect, not an amazing effect. We have a standardized beta of 0.15, but it's there, okay? So as men are more dominant, they're more likely to defer to the self for condom, to decide about condom use. More submissive, we defer to the partners. So let's put it all together. What's the relationship? This is sort of a model I've been playing with. I will not lie to you, I am no expert in structural equation modeling. I know how to do mediation, so that's where I'm gonna take us right now, okay? Okay, so we create a model, HIV status, age, location, all those goodies, plus the sexual control quadratic, so sexual control times sexual control, and condom decision making. This is going to be for receptive. And we see what ends up happening is there's no real mediation. I mean, it's close, 0.08, but hey, we've made decisions about 0.05, right? But what we see is that sexual control is no longer significant after we control for this decision making. But it turns out that when it comes to receptive condom use, it's all about whether you or your partner makes the decision about using the condom. However, what happens in insertive anal condom use is, yeah, there's no mediation there, 0.10, as a p-value, but we see that sexual control still remains significant. So it is an independent predictor of condom use in and of itself. And again, obviously, with a really strong standardized beta of 0.43, that decision-making really is important, it turns out. Okay, so what did we find? These curvilinear effects were found for submissiveness and dominance for ordinary gay and bisexual men. However, what it does seem is that more dominant men are eschewing condoms when being receptive, and more submissive men are eschewing condoms or not using condoms when they're being insertive. And what I will do in future analyses is not necessarily treat this as a curvilinear effect, but as an interaction, where what we say is, let's look at submissive men one standard deviation down, let's look at dominant men one standard deviation up, and see what the relationship is between sexual control for those groups and condom use. Okay, if anyone just followed me there. Also, we have to look at this idea of discrepant roles, discrepant role responsibility. Discrepant roles causing or being responsible for this relationship. So that is to say that dominant men, we know in other studies that dominant men don't tend to be receptive when it comes to anal intercourse. Similarly, submissive men don't tend to be insertive. So is this a function of the sexual control, or is this a function of people not being comfortable with the role that they're taking and the actual use of condoms as being sort of interruptive in that process? Maybe they're losing their erections because they're nervous about taking on a discrepant role. So we have to look at that a bit more, all right? Then we look at sexual power as a decent predictor of self versus condom decision making, where our more submissive men are deferring to their partners more. Putting it all together, receptive anal intercourse, self versus partner decision making seems to be a primary variable in predicting actual condom use. However, it's only for insertive that the sexual control really kicks in along with self versus partner decision making. So these sorts of individual differences do seem to be important over risky sexual behavior in not just our hardcore leathermen or masters or daddies or slaves, but in you and me also. Okay? So we ask ourselves why. Is it a function of communication? Is it that submissives don't want to speak up and say, I want you to use a condom, I don't want you to use a condom? Or is it dominance saying, we're not using a condom, or we are using a condom? Is it this idea of role discrepancy, which we have to check on in terms of regular anal positioning, anal self-identity in terms of sexual self-label, top, bottom, versatile? Or also, does it just ruin the play? Okay, some of us want to have fun in the bedroom. Some of us want to be submissive and have a dominant there. And talking about condoms may be antithetical to that situation. It may ruin the moment. Oops, can I go back? So the implications, again, it's not a fringe phenomenon. It's not just among the leathermen. Also, we kind of see that when we're talking about sexual control, this unprotected sex may increase the psychological value of the experience. It may make things hotter for the men. What can we do? Interventions that target bedroom behavior? I don't know about that one. I certainly don't want to tell anyone what they should do or do not do in the bedroom. But what we can say is that maybe we need to either tell individuals who tend towards submissive or dominant play to maybe negotiate condom use prior to even getting into the bed, all right? Tell your partner that this is the way I want it to go down, all right? Again, I don't know how successful that's going to be. I don't know if even, you know, mention or looking at a condom breaks the moment, but again, we'd have to see. Or alternatively, just being more aware that dominant or submissive extremes are going to be more likely to be at risk for HIV or STDs in terms of the condom use. Okay, some last minute limitations. The sexual control measure, yeah, it was reliable, but the validity was not 100% assessed. We did focus group it. Everyone was comfortable with it, thought that conceptually it was what it was, so we were happy there. Also, it may be poor form. We only used one indicator to get at self versus condom decision making. So in the future, we need to create some scale about that or use some scale. And then finally, we've got this idea of those confounding variables, okay? Is it that communication doesn't work there? Or is it that it's really the anal penetrative role that's pushing this, not really the sexual control? So that's all things that we're gonna look at into the future. But that's about it for right now. So I'd just like to thank my co-author on this, David Seal, my people who helped me with the survey, Lance Rintamaki, Gero Frieger. We got excellent advice on the Leatherman study from Master Butch out of Atlanta, who sat me down and told me how it was, okay? Michael Planky has been amazing on a whole bunch of different projects associated with this, and those, the rest were people who administrated the study also. Here's my information, please email me. I'd love to talk about this more. Thanks for listening.
Thank you, Dr. Moskowitz. Now we'll...